Welcome to Most High Show. Brandon right here with Katrina.
Hi.
And we are here to talk about our experience, strength, and hope with in regards to the second step, which of course is, let's see here off the wall, we came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So getting started here, Katrina, does that bring anything to mind right out of the gate?
Well, what I was thinking about is that I had no power greater than myself growing up whatsoever. I essentially just ran wild and didn't really have any morals and no God, certainly, no higher power whatsoever. And that was a new concept to me when I first really, really glad that the God wasn't defined for me. My higher power wasn't defined for me when I came here, because I think that would have freaked me out. I don't know about you.
So my story is a little bit different. I actually grew up in the Methodist church. My mom was a youth minister. And but I remember reading in the Bible a lot and being, argumentative. I mean, I remember being removed from Sunday school in first grade, second grade.
You? Argumentative? What?
For disputing the Jonah and the whale story. I'd been to the ocean, I'd been fishing, it just didn't make any sense, you know? So I remember being kind of against a lot of the stories that I had read early on, and then when it became a way to discipline me as well, I was just very, very rebellious as it related to God. So I guess that I came in with that fire and brimstone version of God, where God was kind of there to punish me and I was never going to live up to his expectations. My background in life in general was, you know, I was born into an alcoholic family. My father, killed himself when I was 11 years old, and he suffered an alcoholism, you know, the slow downward spiral of alcoholism and eventually took his own life because he couldn't ever see that there was a solution. I mean, he made it into the rooms at 8111. He was, in and out of there in 87, 88. I remember him talking about it. But for whatever reason, he was never able to get sober. For my own story, when I first came in, the idea that it could return me to sanity, I wouldn't say that my first time coming in, when I came in, when I was ready, the idea that it would return me to sanity held a special place in my heart, because I knew, if nothing else, I didn't know much about God per se. I was so shot out in the end. I mean, it had been a summer of just amphetamines and whiskey and just not eating and craziness. I was just insane. I believed I had a microchip in my ankle. I believed the FBI and the CIA and everybody was out to get me, and I was just literally insane. And so the idea that I could be returned to sanity, you know, it really meant a lot.
Yeah, for me, I thought that God was like fairy tale. Like, it was the equivalent of Hansel and Gretel or something along those lines. Like, there was no God, but I guess the God of drugs and alcohol and myself at times. And I also grew up with a family that my mom got sober in 92. My dad is still a marijuana addict, and it's definitely progressive disease in that he's essentially crazy now and not very functional. grasping the whole God concept was really pivotal for me, and it's transformed over the years that I've been sober. Got sober for a couple years in 2010 to 2012 and didn't get the God concept or higher power concept whatsoever. Lo and behold, I went back out and, had to go to rehab because I thought that I was going to die. I was just using amphetamines also, and, you know, trying not to eat and drinking excessively. And I thought that I probably wouldn't wake up one day. And I didn't want to die, although I didn't necessarily care if I didn't if I didn't wake up. But I cared enough to check myself into rehab, thank God. This time around, I got a sponsor in rehab, actually. And, you know, even though I still at that point thought that God was a fairy tale, I knew that the program for me from 2010 to 2012 didn't work. And I didn't follow any of the steps. First step, I knew that I had an issue with alcohol. But other than the first step, like, I didn't follow any of the suggestions. This time around, I actually prayed. There's a lot of readings in the book that were particularly impactful for me, namely like pages 86 through 88. I remember my sponsor had me read those, and it's kind of upon awakening, essentially we get out of ourselves. And initially what that looked like for me, incorporating the whole higher power into my life, was I used different acronyms. So initially, my God was group of drunks, okay? Because I knew that when I came to meetings, they made me feel better. And I realized that not everybody lived like some perfect life. Like, I always thought growing up that somehow I didn't get the memo on how to live life on life's terms. And that's why I had to seek out these substances to like make myself feel different. So group of drunks really helped me initially. Then that kind of transpired in a good orderly direction, which also helped me kind of incorporate more morals into my life. And just being a better person in general. And you know, along my path of sobriety, my higher power was certainly dynamic, you know, is kind of law of attraction. We all are one, kind of a universalist, almost like pagan type concept. And it's changed along the years, but I know that there is a God. Otherwise, I would have been dead like so many times, just from putting myself in such precarious, dangerous situations. And just kind of, I don't know, just having my God be alcohol and drugs and, you know, at different times, different things. But yeah, the whole God thing is really, I mean, to me now, I think it's the most important part of the program is to grasp that higher power. And I love how I think it works so well in that it isn't like Brandon said, like the fire and brimstone, you know, type God that some people grew up with. You know, it's not regimented like in our society with so many different ways that people live. You know, it can be whatever, but it's, you know, certain concepts I think end up being universal with people's higher power, like just being nice to people, right? And getting outside of yourself and not being a self-centered asshole, because that's what I was for a whole bunch of years.
Yeah.
And certainly I can still be that at times. Progress, not perfection. That's one thing that like I think in the programs really helped me, because I know a lot of people are, you know, perfectionists. Drank and used because they didn't feel good enough. And that certainly was me a lot of times, you know. And today, even though like I don't always feel good enough, I know that that I am. And getting outside of myself and relying on my higher power is really a necessity to living like the best life I can. And again, progress, not perfection, because not every day is like awesome, but it's way better than, you know, seeking out booze and drugs to make myself feel better.
Yeah. I know for me, when I first came in, the last time that I was like really ready to do the program, I remember reading the steps on the wall and not being able to read, like being so shot out that my mind was gone. And that put the fear of, you know, of God in me. You know, I was scared. I was very scared that I had done so much damage to my mind and my soul and just that I wasn't going to come back, you know? And, I was at Triangle and I was 3-4 days into detox without sleeping, without eating. later I found a passage in some ancient writing that like describes this place where if you drink too much wine, the food will turn into ash in your hand, and you know, it will taste like sand in your mouth, and you will see things that are not there, and you will wake up and you will beg for another drink. And it was written 6,000 years ago, and it was like, that was what I went through, was this just state of being that once you've gone past this line with drinking and drugging, or, you know, just back then, maybe they were just drinking too much wine, you know, and it would take people to this place of destituteness or just hell. To me, that was hell. And there's that saying that, what is it? Religion is people don't want to go to hell. Spirituality is people that have been to hell and don't want to go back, you know, and that's where I feel like I am now. But I had these fundamental disagreements with the way that, you know, I was raised. My mom was this very adamant Baptist. I mean, she went to Methodist, but she grew up Baptist. So it was just, my son was born when I was 18, and she wouldn't see my son until we were married. At the time, I was 18 years old. I didn't think that was a very wise move. And it was a good like 10 months before my mom would see her only, I mean, really, she died a few years later, so she that was her only grandchild ever. She didn't see him because she was so stubborn and proud over this religious dogmatic thing. So I had these resentments. And I also had this concept of, this might sound crazy, but I just always believed in reincarnation. Since I was like 5, 6 years old, I had these dreams of just that it existed. It just makes sense to me. And not that it's right or wrong, but just that the idea that it was so wrong that thinking it meant you would go to hell was just absurd. It's just like an absurdity. And so I just couldn't wrap my head around that. So when I came in, I guess what I was getting to is like a lot of my objections first came in were things in my head that I had just created that really weren't true. Like I didn't have any concept of what the first step was or what the second step was. And the second step, you know, just kind of defining it and putting it into wording, like the first step was just this action of writing down everything I had ever done as a direct result, or everything negative that had ever happened as a direct result of drinking and drugging. And it ended up being like 13 pages of, you know, self-inflicted tragedies and just, you know, in and out of juvenile prison here in Atlanta and just all this trash, you know, where I should have been going to, you know, great lengths to go to schools and higher education. And I never did any of that. I was, you know, basically out of high school in 10th grade. And I just shouldn't. I had a lot more potential. I could never really look at drinking again because of the work I had done in the first step. So by the time I got to the second step, I was more around, I was more like open to doing it because the first step had revealed to me the true nature of my alcoholism. And so I'll wrap up here. For me, the function of the second step was write down, if you could create a God to worship, to be in your head, a higher power outside of you, what would it be like? You know, and that was a simple exercise. And, you know, it was something that it believed in reincarnation, you know, it believed in eternity. It believed in an omnipotence. It was very forgiving. It was patient. It was all these things that I wanted God to be that the Christian dogmatic God I was taught about wasn't necessarily. And so, but that became my God. At the end of that step, my sponsor looked at me and said, "That's your higher power," you know, and that was so moving that it really rocked my world, and it changed the dynamic of when I pray in the morning to help me to stay sober, and when I pray at night, you know, gratitude, thank you for letting me stay sober. Like it means something because it's the God of my understanding, not what somebody else gave me or shoved down my throat. So I'm so grateful. Allows you to bring that to the table. So thanks.
Nice. For me, I think that our body and us as people are comprised of three components: mind, body, and spirit. And spirit is what was lacking for me. You know, I filled that spirit with booze and alcohol and drugs and bad stuff. And I'm really grateful for helping me to connect with the spiritual world that I needed to live a much better life. And I'm going to keep coming back because it's better here. Thanks.
Thanks so much.